Let it change us. May it cause us to grow. Holy Spirit, just move here today and be real to us in our lives. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's great to be in church today. It's always a privilege to get to stand up here and address you lovely folks. It's warmer in here than outside. Yesterday we had a great sleigh ride. God was good. We had fun. Now we're going to talk about growth. And growth is a stage of development in our life. And you know, we can never remain where we're at. We have to always be moving forward, and we have to grow. And so I want to talk a little bit about a few things that I think can help us grow in our life, that can move us forward. And my first point, I want to lay a little bit of ground rules where we're at. And my first point is realizing God has a plan for your life. And I'm going to read a scripture. In Jeremiah, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, God has a plan for our life. So I want everybody to look at their neighbor and say to them, God has a plan for your life. Now look at the person on the other side and say the same thing to them. God has a plan for your life. Now, before we move on, I want you to say this a couple times. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for my life. Sometimes you have to repeat that a few times for it to sink in. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that God has a plan for your life. And you know, before we can move forward in life, we have to know that there's a plan for our life. It's no different if a carpenter decides to, or a construction company decide to build this building. They have to have some plans to go by. There's plans. And everything we do in life, I think, requires a certain amount of plans. Because that's kind of the beginning step, the beginning direction to go. A lot of people in life, they seem to go here and up and down and all around because they really don't know that God has a plan for their life, right? And the Bible says he has us engrafted into the palm of his hand. That's what the Bible says. And it says he knows us by the very hairs of our head. He knows everything about us. I said in the first service, it's easier to keep track of people with no hair than people that have lots of hair. But God has a specific purpose for everybody's life here. Don't let the enemy say to you that you don't have a purpose. Don't let the enemy say to you that you're worthless, because you're not. In God's eyes, we all count. He created us. He had a plan when he created us. Before we were even born, he had a plan, a specific plan for Liz's life, a specific plan for my life, a specific plan for my daughter's life. He knows us from the beginning to the end. He had a specific plan for this church from the time it was started. Started with a handful of people, and look where we are today. And he has a plan for us 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries. God has a plan for you. Never allow the enemy to say you're worthless. Always think God has a plan. Sometimes our plans are different than God's plans, but he has a plan for us. And I thought about the story of Joseph. God gave him a dream of what his future would be. And he shared that dream with his brothers. And his brothers became jealous because they had to bow down to him in the dream. And they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Now, Joseph came from he was a gifted, he was the favored one, the fair-haired child. You know, he was the gifted one. And he probably never thought that he would be in that position. But God always had his hand on Joseph's life. And when he was sold into slavery, he rose to a position in the house there. And then over all the other slaves and the things. And then Potiphar's wife, right? She accused him. She wanted him. He said, no, he did the right thing. Then he was thrown into prison. But God was still on his side. And God ended up pulling him out of prison, put him in a place over all of Egypt. He controlled all the finances. The plan that God had for his life came to pass. How many times in your life, along the way, that maybe there's hiccups in the road? And that's what happened with Joseph's life. But you can see the hand of God through it all, how he works in our lives. And we have to never lose sight of that. Sometimes we will look at our own situation that we're in right at the time we're in it and say that we don't matter or it doesn't count or maybe God's forgot about me. But he hasn't. He has an ultimate plan. He has a beginning point and he has an end point. He knew you before you were born. He knows where you'll be at the end of your time. But God has a plan for our lives. It's up to us whether we want to follow in those plans. I really believe that. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And a cool little thing to just show you how neat God is and how he cares about us and how it's real. Saturday, I go to Rona to buy some cabinets for the church. And it wasn't a lot of money. And I was up there to the counter getting ready to pay. Didn't have the contractor's card that we had. I was standing there, and the gentleman was trying to look it up. And he said, what's the name of the church? I said, KWCF, and that wasn't coming up. And so he said to me, what's the full name? So I told him Kitchener, you know, Waterloo Christian Fellowship. There was a gentleman standing over beside me. He spoke up to the cashier and said, I want to give $100 for this purchase. And the gentleman wouldn't give me his name. He pulled out a $100 bill. They took it off the price. But God had a plan. God knew that guy would be there beside me before I was even born. He knows everything. Sometimes we don't think he does, but he knows our future. He has a specific plan. Your whole purpose might be just to minister in your office. You know, lead somebody to the Lord. Your whole life, you might only lead one person to the Lord, but it counts. The things we do. I shared a story about a lady that was in our church when I was back before this church, when we were in Brantford. And she looked after the missions ministry in the church. And there was missionaries to the Philippines. And she was raising money. She would get things for them. She would pray for them. Relentless for this ministry overseas in the Philippines. She prayed for the Garretts every day. And she tried to bless them and be there for them. And 40 years later, she moves to New Brunswick, Her husband dies at the kitchen table. And, you know, it seems like maybe it might be a tragedy or this or that, but God knows all things. The missionary's wife passed away. And she ended up marrying the missionary. She spent her last 25 years in ministry to the Philippines. You know, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the beginning of our life. He knows the end of our life. We might have hiccups. We might have bumps along the road. But God is there for us. And for us to move forward and to grow, I think that's the first thing we have to grasp, that God has a plan for us. He has a purpose. He has a destiny. He wants to use you. He wants you to go forward. He doesn't want you to be stagnant. He wants you to be powerful. He wants you to move forward. So, our number two thought and stepping forward is expand your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the one I really like. Let me read you a few scriptures here first. It says, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men the things of God has prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. These things which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, this is where it starts to get good. We need to expand and develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, okay? But most of us, that's about as far as it goes. We don't work on that aspect of our Christian life. The Holy Spirit is very important to us. The Bible says, first of all, that he's our teacher. He teaches us all things. Now, I used this morning, it's like the Holy Spirit is like Google, the search engine. I'm trying to be current. When you want to know something about anything, you Google it or you YouTube it, and it shows you how to do it. Well, in our life, if you want to know something about God, what should you do? What should you do? Not Google it. Rely on the Holy Spirit, because he's our teacher. He teaches us all things, right? The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. And the Bible says it knows everything about God. So how do we know God better? How do we know things in our life? We use that Google. I think about, when I was thinking about this point, of him being the teacher and Google and this, that. Anybody here watch Intelligence, the show? My Aunt Kay got me right into it. And then they cut the series, which I was upset about. But Intelligence, this guy gets a computer chip implanted in his mind and he can screen right in on all, like the largest computer network in the world. So all he has to do is just kind of, I don't know if he blinks his eyes, but it comes right up as a screen, and he can search everything. But that's kind of like the Holy Spirit, right? We've been given that chip. It's been planted in us, But how often are we, you know, pulling out the Holy Spirit and we're beginning to develop that part of him, the teacher part? See, he can teach us things that man can't teach us. He can teach us things we can't learn in a book. You know, there's all kinds of things we can learn in a book, but there's things about God you can't learn. I mean, my wife, if she wrote a novel about her life, you guys really wouldn't know her, right? But I know her because I live with her. And the more time I spend with her, the more I get to know her and understand her and read her. You know, our relationship is like that with God. Also, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our guide. Not just our teacher, but he's our guide. Now we're going 2015 again. GPS. The Holy Spirit is our GPS. He can guide us in our decision process. All, you know, your GPS, you plug in what you want, and it takes you there, right turn, left turn, 500 meters, you know. The Holy Spirit can be our guide, our GPS in our life. Should I make this decision? Should I buy this house? Do we involve the Holy Spirit in the decision aspects of our life? Or do we work off our natural mind? Most of the time, we sit down and we try to figure it out with our natural mind. And we say, well, I'm going to do this. It's a calculated decision because, you know, X plus Y equals this. Okay? There's times in our life we have to use the Holy Spirit. If we use the Holy Spirit, he'll never steer us wrong. If we're in tune to the Spirit, if our spirit is sensitive and understands the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit, he'll guide us, he'll direct us, he'll teach us, he'll make us a winner, he'll make us go to heights we can't even think we can go, because he can teach us things. He's the intelligent part of God. If you need to know something, you need to use that Holy Spirit, which we kind of brush over a lot of times. Second part, or third point on this Holy Spirit, is we need to listen. Okay, how many times in your life do you get busy? We have a lot of junk in our life. We have a lot of stuff going on. There's something with my kids. There's something, oh, that person that sits beside me at work, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, we're constantly, there's stuff bombarding us. We need to take and set the time alone with the Holy Spirit, which we don't tend to do. The Bible says to be still, to be silent, and know that he is God. We have to take time and become silent before the Lord. A lot of times we can do all the talking, but we don't do a lot of listening. And when I was a salesman for a while, salesmen tend to gab, right? But how do you know what your customer wants? You got to listen. Because they'll tell you everything they want if you listen. The same way with the Holy Spirit. How do we know what he's saying? How do we know the heartbeat of God? We take the time alone with God. We find our little, I want to say, sweet spot where we're at. And we just lock ourselves alone with him. You know, for me, I just find a quiet time and I just sometimes lift my hands and I just silently pray. Sometimes I don't say anything. I just lift my hands and I let his presence just overwhelm me and I allow it to penetrate me. You know, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if you realize it's not about you, it's about him in everything you do, and you are conscious of that, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. But you know, sometimes we get so busy we don't listen, and we need to listen. That's the biggest key, I think, through this whole thing, is to listen. You know, a lot of times we think we have to pray all the time, and it's great to pray, but if we're always talking, it's hard to listen. That little nugget's free right there. No extra charge for that. My fourth point on the Holy Spirit would be that sometimes things that seem foolish to us are not foolish to God. The ways of the flesh, the carnal ways, are not God's ways. God can, a lot of times, confound us with some foolish stuff. You know, I think about even in the Bible, he turned water into wine. It doesn't make sense, but he did it. Peter walking on the water doesn't fit with my natural mind. It seems foolishness. But God did it. And the Holy Spirit may ask us to do things sometimes, like help somebody in need. Right? Pray for somebody. So the Holy Spirit is our guide. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our life? Are we stepping out in the Holy Spirit and us physically stepping back and saying, Holy Spirit, you take the forefront. You lead us. You guide me. May I minister to the person today that you want me to. May I bless the person today that you want me to bless. May I help the person in need today that I need to help. You see, the key is turning on that little switch in there and crucifying your own personal thoughts and your own personal agendas and allowing the Holy Spirit to step forward. I think if we can grasp that as a spiritual growth, those few little principles, I think they'll be life-changing. I think they can totally change our life. It's like me coming here. You know, I left everything, my home. I just worked my whole life to get it paid for. And the Lord spoke to me and asked me to come be a part of this fellowship. And to my natural man, that is the craziest thing. I'm not a city guy. I love the country. You know, why give up my house? But when God asks you to do something, we need to be faithful. We need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen because that's all that matters. Money doesn't matter. Tangible things doesn't matter. It's what we do for God that matters. And it doesn't matter whether it's big or small. You know, if the Lord asks you to clean the toilets, then clean the toilets. If he asks you to shovel the snow in the parking lot, go shovel the snow. You know, if he asks you to make somebody a cup of coffee, be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God. And we will advance. We will grow. We will go forward. Let's all stand. I'm not going to get clear through it, so we won't start another. But I'll finish this message sometime. Is there anybody here that would like to grow more in the Spirit? I know I would too. And everybody that has their hand up, you know God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for your life. He has a purpose. You count. You matter. Everybody here, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are our counselor, that you are our guide, that you are our teacher. And Holy Spirit, we just allow you to come to the forefronts of our life, Lord. We pray that every individual here will have a stirring in their spirit to want to leap forward in the things of the Holy Spirit, that they'll be guided by your wisdom, that they'll use the wisdom and the knowledge you give them to grow and to minister to people. Lord, whether it be sharing the gospel, blessing them with food, helping people, Lord, allow that to grow in their hearts. And Lord, we thank you that you do know us and you do have a plan for us. And Lord, we bless you today. And we thank you for the work you're going to do in our church. Lord, we thank you for the plan you have in this place, Lord, that we will affect KW for the Lord, that lives will be changed, that we won't stand still, that we'll leap forward and reach out to the community, and that this place will be known as a healing center, that it'll be known as a place that if you have a need, a spiritual need, that you can come here and find rest, and Jesus will heal them. We ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, you can come to the front, but you're dismissed. We'll pray for you. But be blessed. Go this week knowing that you have a plan. Be the best you can be on your jobs and in your life. In Jesus' name.